Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into God's Word this morning. We are going to start in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. You know, I believe that God is pursuing each and every one of you. God is pursuing your heart. We all go through times in life when, if we're honest with ourselves, we run away from God and from what's right, from doing what is right. And we don't do it intentionally so much, but how many of you know that we're all born sinners? And we all need a Savior. And in that process and in that journey of drawing closer to the Lord, there comes times when we want to do our own thing because we like to drive. We like to drive, right? Yeah. You know, you have a couple and a marriage or something, and somebody likes to drive. And we like to drive our lives. And the whole thing about living for God is it's about trust. It's about letting Jesus drive and trusting Him that all is well. And it's a journey, and it's something that I believe that the church gets so involved in, this pomp and circumstances about what church is supposed to be, how it's supposed to run, when the most important thing is and always will be your relationship with Jesus Christ, your prayer life, your Bible reading life. That without that, all the pomp and circumstance, all the show or whatever is put, it means absolutely nothing. And God made it clear, don't be like those hypocrites in the corner raising their hands and shouting out, and then in private they're doing things that are not right. And God's clear in His Word that He's looking for people that are real. And I believe that we're all on a journey to get rid of religion as the world sees it. And really live for God. Really live and search for the truth. And that's kind of what this last few weeks we've been studying. Keep Jesus close is our theme in 2016. The church needs to passionately keep Jesus close to them. And by reading, by praying, by seeking Him more than anything else, putting Him first in your life. And as you begin to do that, begin to know God, let me read this scripture before I go on. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So here in verse 23, the word of God tells us, do not glory in your own wisdom. Do not glory in the fact that you have might or strength or riches. Don't glory in those things. Those things to God are irrelevant. They're not important. But in verse 24, it says what we should glory about. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. God the Father is speaking. Look, what the people of God need to glory about is that they understand and know who I am. That's what God is telling His people. Get to know me. You know, I've said I'm going to get rid of this phrase I used to say, saying God wants to get to know you. God knows you very well. He created you. He knows you perfectly well. I believe we're turning this around this year and saying, you know what? We need to know God's character. We need to know who God is, because when we do that, we understand why He's doing what He's doing. So don't glory in the things of this world. Glory in the fact that you know God. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. So who is God? He's a loving God. He's a loving God. He wants the best for all of us. And glory in the fact that you know God, because He's a loving God. He's a God of judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God is righteous. God is all-knowing. God is righteous. And He wants you to glory above all else that you know Him. And when you get to know God, when things start happening ways in your life that you would not like them to happen that way, when trials come, know God. Trust God. And all will be well. He'll work it out. He'll make what seems to be a trial into a victory. He's done it over and over in my life, and He'll do it over and over in your life. God already knows you. We need to be passionate about getting to know God's character. Because when you know God, you can trust Him. Trust Him in all things. The last few weeks, I've done lessons on God's character. And if we can put that up there, the list, 1 through 4. You know that God's character is to pursue you. We've talked about that. The story we used on that was that He'll leave the 99 to find you. Amen? His character is to pursue you. And you are here this morning because God's pursuing you. Right? Whether somebody invited you, whether you've been coming for a long time. You come to church because God is pursuing you. And you know that you need to be in church in order to be part of the family. Part of a congregation that is moving in unity together to have more of God in our lives. He's pursuing you. And number two, God's character is to hate sin. Amen? His character is to hate sin. We make no excuses for sin. Sin is sin. It's never right. It's never justified. It's wrong. It's wrong. Amen? And we live. Nobody is perfect. But it doesn't change that sin is wrong. Amen? And what I've always advised new Christians or Christians who struggle with certain areas in their life, this is always the advice that I feel that God has kind of helped me with, and I share it with other people. When it comes with sin, when things are wrong in our lives, not lining up with God's word, we don't have the power to overcome sin. Amen? It's important that we understand that. If you try and overcome sin on your own, you will lose every time. Amen? There's only one way to overcome sin, and that's that the Holy Spirit empowers you to overcome sin in the darkness of this world. The Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit, and you will not be filled, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer to sin is not to try harder, not to sin. The answer is to get on your knees, to be honest with God, and to say, God, I give it to you. Empower me by your Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God. And so many of you maybe have gone through your life and, oh, I'm never going to be perfect. I can never get close to God. I can only go so far with God because I struggle in these areas. And that's the enemy lying to you. God's plan for you is to be great in His kingdom. His plan for you is not to be, oh, I just never will be like that person in God. God's not interested in you comparing yourself to anyone else. God has created you perfectly and wonderfully for greatness, to fulfill a calling to bring light to a world of darkness. You are destined for greatness. And this issue of sin and, oh, and so, get it right by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by your willpower. Not because you're going to try harder. That's fool's gold. The way we overcome sin in the world is more of God in our life. More of church, more of His presence, more of worshiping Him, more of listening to music that's lifting His name. More of Him in you at home, not just in this building, but when you get home, begin to make your home a place where God's presence can come. Amen? Begin to get rid of things that are not lining up with this word. Those are the things you can do. You in your own power cannot overcome sin. But when you begin to let the Holy Spirit fill your own home, when you begin to let the Holy Spirit fill you, sin will diminish because God and sin don't mix. Amen? And God's character is to hate sin. And I believe that this is, if you need to write something down today, write something down, because many of you have been trying to conquer sin on your own you'll never live perfectly in your own will and your own power. But in the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So God's character is to hate sin. That's why Jesus said, if your left hand causes you to sin, what did he say? Cut it off. Now, I don't want any of you to cut your hands. He's not saying go cut it. What Jesus is emphasizing is set the environment around you, your homes. Cut what you need to cut. There's stuff going on in your own homes that if the pastor went by, I'd be, oh my God, Lord, hi, oh my God, this needs to be moved. But I believe that you're here because you have a passion to be right with God. And you won't overcome sin in your own ability, but put more of God in your life in any time. When you're driving to work, put on music that's lifting to God. Whatever it takes to get more of God in your life, it will make all the difference in the world. Read your Bible and pray every day without fail. If as Christians we cannot read our Bibles and pray every day, then we're too busy. We're not. We need to put God first. Amen? I was asked once, how much time should I pray? And I said, how much time do you pray now? None. I said, well, anything greater than none would be a step up. Amen? And you'll start noticing. You start praying and then God convicts you. You need to spend a little more time. But that's between you and God. Amen? So God's character is to hate sin. And a couple of weeks ago we talked, God's character is to reveal His glory through you. Time and time again in the Scriptures, God revealed His glory through people. And that's His character. He wants to use you to show the world His glory. That's why He said, you're a light. You're salt in the earth. You're light in the world of darkness. His character is to use you. Not just the pastor or the worship leader or the assistants. He wants to use every one of you for His glory to shine through you. And today I want to cover this. God's character is to bring out the best in you through humility. Like any parent, you want the best for your children. And sometimes what's best for your children is not to let them do whatever they want. Amen? And surprise, surprise, that what's not best for you is for life to work out the way you want it to work out. God's got a bigger picture. As a parent loves their child and wants the best for them, God loves you and He wants the best for you. And sometimes the best for you is for you to stumble and struggle because you need to trust God. Amen? We don't want to hear that, but it is the truth. If you live a Christian life long enough, you know that trials and hard times are part of it. He wants to bring out the best in you. As part of our 2016 theme, Keep Jesus Close, it's important that we get to know God. It says here in Jeremiah, glory in the fact that you know God. Not in riches, not in what the world sees, but glory in the fact that you know God. And when Jesus was asked the question that everyone asked Him, how to become great in His kingdom, Jesus gave two distinct answers. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 18. So if God's character is to bring out the best in you, I want to share with you this morning how He does that. How does He bring out the best in you? Well, Jesus was asked, how do you become great in your kingdom, Lord? Well, Jesus gave two distinct answers. If you go to Matthew chapter 18, He said two things. The first thing He said is, be humble and trust like a child does. When you tell a child that Santa Claus is coming, the child trusts. They believe it. They don't ask questions. They trust. Of course, they get a little older. Jesus wasn't talking about them. You know, the tweens. But when they're 4, 5, and 6, and that's who Jesus was ministering to, he said, like this child is sitting on my lap, become like this child, humbled like this child. And I thought of that because I know Jesus didn't mean become like this child. And a child can be pretty rough, pretty mean. He wasn't talking about the childlike play. He was talking about trusting like a child trusts. In humbling yourself, a child depends on the parent for food. Just like that, depend on God for everything in your life. And he answered a second way. He said, serve others by humbling yourself, just like Jesus humbled himself. So those are two distinct answers. So I want to get into them here in Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Isn't it interesting, the disciples, they're watching Jesus do miracles and walking on water and feeding the 5,000. And Jesus is doing those amazing things, and they're sitting around with Jesus, and they want to know the most important question on their mind. How do we become head honcho important? How do we become the greatest? Always thinking about themselves, right? And Jesus, you know what they wanted to hear? Jesus said they wanted, since you're my disciples, you are the greatest. They wanted Jesus to tell them something like, it's you guys, why do you think I picked you? You're the greatest. No, he didn't. Disciples didn't realize what they had coming. Each one of these disciples, minus one, was martyred for Jesus Christ. Think about that. And here they're innocent. They're just following Jesus, walking on water. He's doing miracles. And they're just all excited. And they're asking, Lord, how do we become great in your kingdom? And his answer is this. And Jesus called a little child unto him. And he said to the little child, verily, verily, he said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, when Jesus called the little child obeyed, went to him, trusting that Jesus was going to take care of him or not hurt him. Trust. The little child was dependent on Jesus holding him and taking care of him, making sure he didn't get hurt. You see, when the disciples asked him the question, how do we become great in your kingdom? Jesus didn't say, you guys are awesome. He said, you're going to have to trust, depend, put your hope in God the Father in all things. Amen. You know, that's pretty deep. How do you become great in God's kingdom? You got to say, my will, my plans, Lord, I'm willing to bury them for your will. For your plans. Because your ways are better than my ways. Amen? Trust. To be like a child. And so a second person asked Jesus the same question. In Matthew chapter 20. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. So a mother sees Jesus, and of course a mother asks Jesus the question a mother needs to ask. How does my child become great in your kingdom? And here's how Jesus responds. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one at the right hand and the other at thy left hand in thy kingdom. She was smart, right? She didn't just ask how they become great. She knew that if they sat at his right and left hand, they were awesome. So she went that route. But it was the same question. How do they sit up there with you, Jesus? How do they become great? And he said, then Jesus answered and he said, ye know not what ye ask. You know, what he was saying is that in order for them to sit up there, I mean, they got to surrender everything. They got to die to self. He was like, you're not really knowing what you're asking here. Will they be able to drink of the cup that I will drink? Jesus knew he was headed for a crucifixion. He says, will they be able, you know, to do that? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we want to. We're willing. We're able. We're willing. And he said unto them, oh, I see your heart. Maybe you are willing. You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with my baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and to sit on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them from whom it is prepared of my Father. Very wise answer. So Jesus says, very well, you may raise your child to follow me. He saw her heart was real. He said, very well, they may take this cup. They may follow me. They may be martyred one day, or they may just sacrifice everything for me. Okay. He says, but it's not my decision to make who's going to sit on my right hand or my left hand. For God the Father is the real judge of all. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know not the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that and great exercise authority upon them. See, the ten that heard it were jealous. How can you answer like that they even have a chance to sit up there with you? And Jesus is probably just thinking, you don't get it. To be great in my kingdom, you got to die to self. You got to take this cup. And this is how he answers it. But Jesus called him, verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So here's the answer. When Jesus was asked about greatness in this particular case, he answered it this way. People who are great in the kingdom of God serve. The world looks at it differently. The world looks at it the opposite. People who are great, they hire servants. They don't serve. But in God's kingdom, people who are great love other people, serve other people. And that's why in our heart, I get so excited as I see the ministry of the food bank serving the needy, the building that's being built for the outreach center to serve people that are in need. That you want to be great in His kingdom, serve. Serve. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So Jesus is the example. The ultimate example is Jesus Christ. Because He came to this world to serve, to die a criminal's death, so that we would have a chance to be great in His kingdom. See, Jesus wasn't just telling them words. He was living this. He was living this. He was sent from heaven to earth to show us the way, to serve us, to be humble. And so when we go back to this getting to know God, the fourth point, God's character is to bring out the best in you through humility. You know, that is something that you can't just, okay, I'm going to be humble now. It goes back to what I talked about, sin. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you power through the name of Jesus. You see, loving your enemy is power. You don't love your enemy naturally. Have you noticed that? That person that rubs you the wrong way or has cheated you or has hurt you. In our own carnal self, we cannot love. But as we saw, I think in South Carolina, this crazy man walked into a church, a prayer meeting, and shot people. And the next day, the family is united and all said together, we forgive the murderer. Wow, the nation was kind of like, wow, that took a lot of humility and love your enemy. They did it. They showed it. It doesn't mean they hated the act and they were sorrowful and they were mourning, but they practiced what they preached. But you don't do that under your own power. We need God's power in our life. And we get that by praying, by reading, by asking Him to fill us. What I started with, you need to surround your home with godly things. You need to create a godly environment. Amen? And you need to set things right that you can control. You need to set them right in your life. They have to be set right. I looked up the word humility in the dictionary. It said this: a modest or low view of one's importance. How many of you think you're very important? That was a trick question. Nobody raised their hand because you don't want to be accused of not being humble. So, a modest low view of one's importance. You see, Jesus left heaven as a Son of God. And He came to earth to be convicted as a criminal. But He did it for one simple reason. He'll leave the 99 to look for you. That's God's character. His character is to be humble. His character is to serve. His character, these are His characteristics. And when you do that, you become great in His kingdom. And not great like the world defines great. Great like people saying, God's in this person. You can see God in this person. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen? So not anybody's going to leave this place today and say, okay, I'm going to leave and be humble. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to be crucified. But you need to know this, He told them. You need to know that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He will empower you. Every one of us in this place should go home and ask the Holy Spirit to empower us like He did the disciples. You remember Peter denying Jesus, Peter just acting tough in front of Jesus, but when it came down to it, he ran with his tail between his legs. But then the same Peter, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, stood up in Jerusalem and proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Knowing that his life was in jeopardy, that if he spoke, they could kill him. And they tried over and over. And even one time, God sent an angel to break him out of prison because he was about to be killed. You see, being empowered by the Holy Spirit is something that you have to seek on your own journey. He wants to empower you. God's character is to bring out the best in you through humility. So go and ask God what that means in your prayer life. You know, I believe in prayer. I believe in altar calls. I believe that God changes us. I had 20 altar calls at 20 summer camps. And each one, God was chipping away at my heart. I believe that God chips away at our hearts. But I can testify to the fact that my life was changed when I had my own altar call at home. And some of you that are listening to my voice need to have that. Need to block everything out, go to your home, and say, Lord, take my life. Take it all. And that is the beginning of greatness. That is the beginning of you saying, Lord, do something beautiful with my life. I trust you like a child trusts you. I will serve others because you will empower me to serve others. I will love. And ask Michelle to come and lead us in the songs. God wants us to know His character. He wants the best for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word is the truth. The truth will set us free. And the truth is that we need you, Lord. We just need you. We need you to guide us. We need you to lead us. We need to be that child sitting on your lap, trusting you that all is well. We need to be humble by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to serve. Serve each other. At the count of three, I want you to stand if this is you. I choose this morning to ask the Holy Spirit to empower me, to show me what humility is. When I count to three, that's what you, when you stand, this is what you're proclaiming publicly. Lord, I pray you empower me by your Holy Spirit to show me, to empower me to be humble, to put you first, to trust you like a child trusts you, to serve like you served. Because when we do that, we're on our way to greatness in His kingdom. You'll never be at peace until you're answering the call that God has for your life. And I believe when some of you stand this morning, you're going to feel a peace. Because you're on the way to answering the call by responding, saying, yes, Lord, you drive. I will humbly step aside and let you drive my life. And you will lead me to greatness because you want the best for me. In the count of three, if that's you, we'll stand and sing a song together and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Empower us, Lord, to be humble. One, two, three. Let's stand. Let Jesus drive.